Romans 8, 35 to 37. If you're there, please rise on your feet so we can read the word of God in harmony. Want to go? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all of these circumstances, we are more than conquerors. In all of the circumstances that are facing my life, I am more than victorious through them. Hallelujah. I titled today's message, Dominion Power Over Circumstances. Dominion Power Over Circumstances. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you because your word is a blessing to us today. We make bold to declare it. Because where your word is, there is power. And where your spirit is, there is liberty. So we thank you, Father, for what your word will do in our lives. Blessed be your name forevermore. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Dominion power over circumstances. When God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the earth, his mission was to reclaim the kingdom that was lost in the Garden of Eden. There was a kingdom, the kingdom of God, that Adam and Eve were blessed with. They were entrusted by God to take care of that kingdom, to enjoy the riches of that kingdom. As the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. Praise the Lord. Let them have dominion. Dominion signifies authority, rule, reign, to be in charge, to be in control. Praise the Lord. So God gave them the kingdom and said, be in control and be in charge. Dominate it. Subdue all the vast resources that are there. Enrich yourself, hallelujah, with the resources that are there. Do this for me. Expand and advance that kingdom by bringing to it fruitfulness, multiplication, increase. But when disobedience came in, they lost that kingdom. And God had a plan. Praise the Lord. You know, before anything happens, God already knows it's going to happen. He is the beginning and the end. He is the one that sits in the present and knows the future, which you and I do not know. So he knew that Adam and Eve were going to mess up. And so he had already prepared a plan to reclaim the kingdom that was lost. And Jesus was the plan. So Jesus came to earth for that mission to be accomplished. The mission of reclaiming the kingdom that was lost in the garden. Praise the Lord. He came to establish victory for mankind. He came to obtain the dominion, the victory for them. The victory that was lost, he came to restore it. Praise the Lord. And through the work of redemption on the cross of Calvary, everything that was lost in the kingdom was reclaimed through his blood. Can I hear an amen? So Jesus Christ has already obtained victory for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 57, the Bible says that thanks be unto God who causeth us to have victory through Christ Jesus. In other words, victory over all our circumstances has already been won on our behalf by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. So every battle of life that may come against me at any time and for any reason, the end of it, as far as God is concerned, is victory for me. Why? Because Jesus has already won the victory. Now that settles my inner struggles of trying to obtain victory by my own power. For by strength shall no man prevail. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9. By strength shall no man prevail. Romans 9, 16. It is not of he that willeth or runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Glory be to Jesus. So it is not about me. It is about the victory that Jesus has already won on my behalf. Praise the Lord. You were victorious over all the enemy had to throw at you on that day, because the victory of Jesus was established for you. Hallelujah. May that victory be established for you this week. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So I really do not need to struggle, for the race is not for the swift. Riches, power is not for the man of strength, because time and chance happen to all men. Glory be to Jesus. It's all about Christ. It's all about the redemptive work. It's all about what Jesus has already done. And that's why Jesus declared at the end of it, "It is finished. I have won the victory on your behalf. I've obtained that victory." Now, if Jesus has obtained the victory, what really does he expect me to do? I said it yesterday at the anointing service. I said, the greatest fear of man, especially man with a spirit that has not been regenerated, the heathen, the unbelievers, it shouldn't really be, no Christian should be involved in this, really. The greatest fear is our inability to control circumstances. Amen. Isn't our, you know, people rarely are faced with all manner of issues. And the Bible is very clear. It says we are in the end times. And in the end times, it's perilous times. Times that things will be hard, difficult to bear. Times that people will be lovers of self rather than lovers of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul was letting us know the kind of manifestations that we will be seeing in the world. But thanks be to God that you and I, if you are in Christ, then you know that you are in the world, but you are not of this world. Praise the Lord. So the world is confused. They are coming to a situation where they really do not know what to do. Things that people thought they had answers to is beginning to fail them. Situations that they thought they had reasons, that this is why this happened, they are scratching their heads because it is not adding up anymore. But it's supposed to be like that. The world is meant to be confused. The world is meant to be afraid. If they were not, there would have been no need for Christ to go to the cross. If the system of this world was perfect, there would have been no need for the kingdom of God to come. Hallelujah. It was imperfect, and God knew it. There is no government that is perfect. The only government that is perfect is the government that God has put upon the shoulder of Jesus Christ. A child is born and a son is given, and upon his shoulders shall be the government. Isaiah chapter 9. Upon his shoulder shall be the government. So it is the government of Jesus Christ is the only government that is perfect. It is the only government that can bring good news in a bad situation. It is the only government that can give hope to the hopeless. It is the only government that can raise up those that are bowed down. It is the only government that can lift up those that have been brought low. Glory be to Jesus. Our brother was sharing the testimony because he didn't know that there was something else. There was a better covenant. There was a better kingdom. Hallelujah. So he said, look, this is who I am. This is what I'm born to be. Who I am born to be. And someone said to him, who you are born to be, you have never tasted the kingdom of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. When he tasted it, he said, I want more of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Because when you are in the kingdom of God, the riches of that kingdom are unlimited. You don't come to Jesus and you come to a dead end. You don't come to Jesus and you are hopeless. Nobody loves you. Come to Jesus. You will know love like you have never known it before. Nobody cares about me. Come to Jesus. You will see someone that cares about you. I don't know what the future holds for me. Come to Jesus. You will see that your future is better than what your past has revealed. Hallelujah. I'm not strong enough to take on all the challenges and circumstances that are facing me. Come to Jesus Christ. And you will draw strength without limits. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter 3 and 4. Just to talk about the riches of this kingdom. The Bible says, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things. How many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things that pertain unto life. Anything about your life. He said, he has given unto us the divine power over all things that are pertain to life and also to godliness. Praise the Lord. He has given it all to us so that there will be nothing lacking, nothing broken, nothing missing in your life. Through who? The knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. He has called us unto glory and virtue. In other words, your life on daily basis is supposed to be revealing the glory of God. Your actions is supposed to be revealing the glory of God. Your speech is supposed to be revealing the glory of God. Hallelujah. Many a times, when we are faced with some circumstances and we really do not know what to do, it is because we really cannot comprehend who we really are. All that we have is information. But the information is not translated to comprehension. Many Christians, all we gather, week in, week out, is information. We know this is what he said about God. We know a few scriptures. We can actually memorize. We can actually speak a few scriptures. But when the push comes to shove, when you are faced like our sister was faced with fierce opposition, what comes out of your mouth? Hallelujah. Would you see Jesus Christ as your deliverer at that point in time? Would you believe that even though your eyes cannot see him, that he's there, present? When you were being beaten with iron, do you believe that Jesus was there? He saw them beat you. Do you see your victory there, or it is defeat you see? Whatever you see is what you will experience at that point in time. That's what separates the citizens from people who just come. Immigrants. Nomads. Hallelujah. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's verse 4. Precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature, so that in any circumstance I'm faced with, I am exhibiting the divine nature of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. The divine nature of God in every situation. Beloved, it's not everybody. Being a Christian does not mean that you can exhibit the divine nature. The name of your church is not what is going to help you to exhibit the divine nature of God in any circumstance. It is not. It is your own union with Christ. It is your relationship and fellowship with Christ on a daily basis. That is what increases your confidence in him. So that you will be able to stand and not to compromise. Beloved, whether you like it or not, you know, I said it yesterday, because a lot of Christians sometimes believe, and sometimes it's because of the way that the gospel has been presented to a lot of people, that they think that being a Christian means that you are not going to face any trouble. Now, that is not the good news. Ah! I wish I had somebody who is deep here today. No, that is not the good news. The good news is that whatever comes against you, you have the dominion power for victory. So, it is not that you enter a bus one chance or whatever and some people are trying to molest you. It is not that, you know, things don't work out. It's not about I wrote an exam and by the time the results came out, my name was not there. It's not about I sat for an exam and what happened? Center was compromised. And because of that, the results were withheld. It's not about you going to the doctor. And the doctor is telling you, sorry, sir, ma, there is nothing more that we can do about your medical condition. It's not about you having great dreams and visions of things you want to do, where you want to take your business to. And then you go to the bank for credit, and the bank is saying, well, we are sorry, we don't think that we can support your vision or we can support your dream. Because all these things will give any normal person a sinking feeling. Like Peter felt when a storm came to them at sea. And Peter felt, we are going to sink. We are going to drown. We are dying here. That was what he saw. He saw defeat. He didn't see victory. But Jesus was in the same boat. This is why you need to get him into your boat. Hallelujah. So that when you are unfaithful, he will remain faithful to you. So they went and woke him. Master, master, don't you care that we perish? I'm sure Jesus must have thought, perish. I'm here. I'm the storm calmer. I have dominion over circumstances. Glory be to Jesus. The river and the storm will answer to me. Hello, somebody. I'm the way maker. I am the need meter. I'm a covenant keeper. I'm a miracle worker. I don't care the situation or the circumstances that you are faced with. Head or tail, you win. If you are with me, you are a winner. In any situation, you win. So it's not about all those things that are coming against you. It is about deploying your dominion power. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. What do we do with what he has obtained? What do we do with what Jesus has obtained for us? We know that he has obtained this victory. Now, what do we do? That victory, what does it mean? How can I access that victory? Because now I know that it is not dependent on me. This battle is not the one I have to fight in my own power. This victory is not one that I'm going to get because I think that I'm smart. I'm smarter than everybody that is around me because I believe that, or people tell me I am cerebral. Hello, somebody. There are situations that will come before you. Your cerebrality will be thrown out. Ah. Hello, somebody. Because you see, this is the only way that Jesus can reveal himself. He has to first make foolishness the wisdom of men. So that when men comes to their wits' end, they will have nowhere else to look. They have looked forward, they can't find anything. They look to the right, they look to the left, they look behind, they can't find anything. They will have no choice but to look up. There are circumstances that will come. You can't look around you anymore because there's nothing you thought would work is working. We had it yesterday. The help of man is vain. Why? Because the best of man is still a man. All men are flawed. Praise the Lord. If we are perfect, you will not need Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the one that came to perfect us. Hallelujah. So what do I do with what he has obtained? What we do is to establish that victory over all situations and circumstances that we face. Praise the Lord. What I have obtained, Jesus is saying to you, you go and maintain it. I have obtained the victory on your behalf. Now go and maintain the victory. So all you and I are doing, when the devil shows up on our case, is to establish that victory and tell that situation, oh, this is going to end in victory. It has no place because the victory has already been won. by Jesus Christ. I am not just going to be victorious. I am already made victorious. That's why Paul was saying, thanks be unto God. He said, all I need to do is to be giving thanks to God because I already know I have the victory in Christ. Praise the Lord. So what he has obtained for us, we must maintain. Help me tell your neighbor, maintain what he obtained. We are to stand firm on the victory of Christ if we are to experience personal victories in our own lives. You must stand firm, immovable. Hallelujah. The devil is a wicked devil. How many times have we allowed him? Sometimes. A lot of times. To deceive us into doubting that a victory has been established for us. How many times? Because that's his plan. The devil does not wish you well. The devil does not wish me well. He has a plan and he has a strategy in place to take you down, to ensure that your life does not reveal the glory of God, to ensure that there is no glorious manifestation, there's nothing glorious about our lives, that our lives are colorless, that we are victims and not victors. That's his plan, and he strategizes. He wants to take us down. He's looking, the devil is looking for men and women that he can use as cast in his Devilwood movie. Hallelujah. But we need to refuse based on the understanding and the comprehension that we have, that we are not actors and actresses in any Devilwood movie. We are actors, citizens. Hallelujah. Actresses in Godlywood movie. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. We are not planned for defeat. When situations come against us, it's like, my goodness, there's no way I can't get out of this. When your finances are funny, it's like, what am I going to do? How about going to job or the job that you loved so much, you've given your prime life and prime time to for so many years, and one day you walk into the office and they say, sorry, we have to relieve you of your services in this company. Or another company takes it over and they say, well, sorry, because they have taken it over and because they have the largest share, we've got to get rid of some people. Hello, somebody. I remember a cousin of mine was given a news after spending so many years with the organization and rising, got to the position of AGM or DG, or AGM or DGM, yeah, DGM, and the next step probably is becoming a director. And there was an opening. But the battle was fierce as to who is going to take this one seat that was available. But there was a connivance, a conspiracy. Oh, the Lord is good. Let me tell your neighbor, this God is so sweet. I will serve him all. I will love him. Ah! He never fails. There was conspiracy, gang ups, meetings, schemings, all sorts for this one seat. And we said to her, hold your peace. God knows what he's doing. At the end of the day, what happened? She was given a letter. We are asking for your early retirement. Ah. When you are thinking that you'll be made a director, they are now saying you should go.
Beloved, a sinking feeling came. Hallelujah.
But we still had to encourage. I said, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. You will see how God will give you victory over that situation. He will come through for you. Let them put their candidates there. And they did that. Put their candidate there. And she was now writing an application again, looking for a job. Thanks be unto God. There was an opening somewhere else. It's not an area that she has been working before. It was quite challenging. But she was ready to take the challenge. In any case, she has no choice. I remember her little son was telling her, he said, Mommy, that rice that Mama Risi cooks in the house, let's be packing it and be selling it. Her seven-year-old son, let's be packing it. I said, that guy is going to do business. Praise the Lord. So, you know, so she got another opening. I will give God praise. Beloved, if you serve God truly and you love God, don't worry about what comes against you. Don't lose a night's sleep over anything that the enemy is planning for you. Don't worry yourself about it. Whatever plan he has to take you down, that same plan is going to be your springboard to higher heights. And what happened? She left the place. They knew they had cheated her out of the place. And they were looking for a way to compensate her, so they overcompensated her. So what she would not have been entitled to as a severance pay, they gave it to her sevenfold to get her out of the place. So she was happy. She said, she called and said, hey, praise the Lord. I said, that's not it. In the presence of my enemies, I must be exalted. It's not two cars and millions of naira that causes me to be exalted. Hallelujah. With your eyes you shall behold and see the reward of the wicked. That is the scripture. With your own eyes. So it's not about my severance pay. My eyes must see the reward. Yeah. Otherwise, you will be like David in Psalm 73. They said, I see the wicked prospering in their ways. But at the end of that scripture, David said, when I went into the house of the Lord, I saw their end. It was very slippery. It was terrible. Hello? And what happened? We just took the newspaper one day in the morning. In fact, she said, one of them that was even like her friend turned 50. She went to the 50th dinner party. All of them were sitting on the stage. They were called to the stage. And she said, a voice was telling her, if you are there, that's where you should have been. She said she was a commoner sitting on the floor with other people there. Nobody knew. She said, I didn't even want them to see me. I said, they are elevated. If God didn't lift you up, you are coming down. The very next day after that dinner party, we read in the newspapers. All of them were dismissed. Now, there's a difference. For those of you who have worked in organizations, there's one thing for them to terminate your contract. There's another to dismiss. If they dismiss, there is no benefit. They were dismissed with no benefits from the place. I said, you see, God is working undercover. You didn't know. He wanted to push you out of the place before trouble shows up. Hallelujah. He said, my daughter must not be among these people. So let me get her out of the place. When the mercy of God is speaking for you, sometimes you think that, God, are you not seeing what's going on? No, his mercy is speaking on your behalf. Praise the Lord. Mercy said no and pushed her out of the place. You think that you have lost the job. God is saying, I'm giving you victory. Glory be to Jesus. I said, you see what the Lord has done? She started dancing, glorifying God. blessing the name of the Lord for what God has done. You didn't come to Christ so that you can be put to shame. No. Don't let the circumstances get you down. God knows about what I said it before. I said some years back, the Holy Spirit told me. He said, settle these things, three things in your spirit. Number one, God loves you. He loves you. Number two, whatever circumstance or challenge you are facing, he knows about it. And he allowed it. Because there is always a bigger picture. There is a plan. And thirdly, he said, he allowed it because he is going to use it for his glory. Whatever you see is what God has allowed. If he can't use it for his glory, he will never have allowed it. It won't come to you. If it came to you, there is a glory in it. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah, he said, do not throw the whole cluster of grapes away because there is a good in it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's move on quickly. So what do I do then to maintain and establish that victory? What do I do to maintain what he has already done? I want to read Romans 8:15 to 17. I want to read the NLT translation. Are you getting something out of this? Amen. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. When you received Christ into your life, the scripture tells us we have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For the spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Are there God's children in the house? And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Did you hear that? If we must share in that victory, then we must also share in the suffering. So, beloved, we don't run away from the suffering because we know the end of the suffering is a glory. When you share in the suffering, our sister, as she was sharing, shouting, Jesus, Jesus, my deliverer, you are my deliverer. They said, stop calling that name. Thank God she didn't say, ah, yes, sir, I will not call it. I will not call it again. Why? Because the enemy always wants you to compromise. Don't call the name again. Shut up. Don't call that name. How many of us will be faced with that situation? And you are asked to stop calling the name of Jesus. And you will agree. There's nobody like that here. Amen. Hallelujah. So, as kingdom citizens, heirs, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, we need to understand and accept our rights and privileges if we are to establish that victory in our own personal situation and circumstances. You will have to accept who you are. That you are an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ of all that the God has and all he is. Do you see yourself as heir? Hallelujah. Nobody needs to tell Prince Charles, Prince Andrew, or Harry who they are. They know. They were born into it. They were born into royalty. Hallelujah. They were born into royalty. They know that they are monarchs. They know. The one who is going to be king knows he's going to be king. He knows that his children will be kings. They already know. They are not trying to convince anybody. They are not. Nobody can tell them otherwise. Nobody. So why do you allow your circumstances to tell you who you are not? You are an heir and joint heir with Christ of all that God has and all that God is. That's who we are. Oh, because I don't have this, then God doesn't love me. I'm not a child of God. The devil is a liar. That's what the devil wants. You see, the devil has orchestrated his strategies so that we can become royalties in captivity. But he's a liar. Amen. He is what? A liar. We must establish and accept that we have rights and privileges. When you are in a kingdom or in a country, you know your rights as a citizen. Don't you know your rights? You should. So as a child of God, get to know what your rights are as a child of God so that the devil will cease to molest you. He only tries to molest us based on our ignorance. That's why Hosea 4:6 says it. He said, my people are destroyed because of what? Because they lack knowledge. They are ignorant. The devil is not the one that is overpowering them. It is their ignorance that is intimidating them and molesting them. So when you are ignorant of what your rights are, well, how will you be able to declare it in the face of a contrary situation? When you do not know what your rights and your privileges are in Christ Jesus. When you do not understand what authority is all about. You see, when Jesus in Luke chapter 7 met with a man, the Bible refers to him as a centurion soldier. And when this man met Jesus, he said, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, in fact, information came to Jesus. Because some of you who think that Jesus will just be doing things. They came to him, they told him some things about the centurion. The centurion was not a child of God. Hello? He wasn't born again. But the disciples came and said, this man has been helping the cause of your mission. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So before you begin to make mouth about people who are not born again that are supporting churches. Hello? They told Jesus, they said, this guy, this is what he has been doing to advance the cause, but he's not born again. And Jesus said to him, I'm going to his house. Hello? Anybody that is advancing the kingdom of God, Jesus says, I will go. I will release my power there. My dominion power will be made available. So he said, I will go. The centurion said, you don't need to come. Oh. You don't need to come. I am a man of authority. Why did the centurion say he's a man of authority? He said, if I tell one to go, he goes. If I tell another to come, he comes. Praise the Lord. He understood authority. He was not the Caesar. Because remember that the Roman Empire were in control of Jerusalem at that time. They were in control of the Jews. The Jews were paying taxes to Rome. And Rome had their own representatives, their diplomats all around the place to ensure that the policies of Rome are being kept. So the centurion was one of them. And he said, I'm a man of authority because I understand what authority means. Whatever Caesar says, Caesar is not in Jerusalem, he's in Rome. But whatsoever Caesar says in Rome, I come here to establish it. Praise the Lord. So I understand what authority is. So Jesus, just say something. If you say it, I know it's going to happen. Glory be to Jesus. And Jesus came and demonstrated that authority there. He said, go home. A message came to the centurion. He said, that same hour that Jesus spoke, the servant got healed. Jesus didn't go there. But the healing took place anyway. Why? Because he understood authority. In fact, notice what Jesus said to the man. He said, my God, I have never seen faith that is like this in the whole of Israel. In other words, I have not seen a faith or authority demonstrated by the children of God. Because this man was not a Jew. But he understood authority. He understood dominion. Praise the Lord. He knows that when dominion power is released, nothing can change it. That's authority. Do you know that you have authority? Do you know that you have authority? That when you speak in that name, that whatever you say is what you will have. Are we really fully persuaded? Because the challenge that we have most times is that what we say that we know, we are struggling to convert it to our behavior. We're not able to convert what you know about Jesus Christ, about what he has given unto you. We are struggling with converting it to our behavior. But Jesus says, this is how you establish my victory. By understanding and comprehending your rights and your privileges. Understanding that the victory has already been won. What you are struggling with right now. What you are afraid of right now. What is giving you sleepless nights right now? He says, I already have the victory. Can you accept that? In the face of adversity. Beloved, this is how miracles happen. This is how miracle takes place. Praise the Lord. So the first thing, as we said, is to accept rights and privileges that he has given unto us. Secondly, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, Jesus says, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon scorpions and serpents and to overcome all the powers of the enemy, and nothing, let somebody say nothing, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Did you hear that? He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. And many of us are still going around with hurts, with bitterness, with unforgiveness. And he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because I have already given you authority over them. So Jesus gave us authority over the devil and his co-workers, over all human systems. Psalm 149. He gave us authority over all human systems, that is, governments. You have the power to determine what happens, even in governments. Praise the Lord. And he gave us also authority over natural causes. And that's why sometimes you say, like somebody was sharing testimony here, I said, I was going to church that day, and the rain started falling. I said, how will I get transport? I was at the bus stop. I just said, I take authority and dominion right now. over the atmosphere. Praise the Lord. It's something that I love doing. I speak to you clouds. You will cease from emptying yourself. Hallelujah. Why? Because an heir is about to get some job done for the king. And you must not disturb it. Praise the Lord. And then all of a sudden, you just see that the clouds will clear. Amen. Sister Fumi sent me, I think she was the one that sent me one video. And in that video, there was this tornado. I think it was around Philippines. And Christians were gathering, they were praying. And this tornado was coming. This is live because it was on the video. The tornado, you know, the thing was swirling and swirling and swirling. I was getting bigger and bigger. Definitely, I mean, it was coming near where that church was. And all of a sudden, they started praying. Everybody started praying. They were praying in tongues. Beloved, in that video, I was watching it like this. And I was seeing that tornado disappear. Gradually, it disappeared until it completely disappeared. Hallelujah. Why? Because authority has been given unto us over natural causes. That was why Joshua, when he was fighting a battle, he told the storm, stay. Until I fight my enemy and they totally surrender, it cannot be night. And the Bible says, the sun stayed until victory showed up for him. Glory be to Jesus. Many of us will think, oh, that's a wonderful story. But the same power, dominion power given to him was given to you and I. Hallelujah. Joshua was a man of like passion. So don't say, oh, yeah, well, it's because, it's because he was working with Moses. It has nothing to do with it. It's because he's working with God. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 20 to 21. Are you there? Pastor Amy, please read if you are there. 20 to 21, Jeremiah 15.
I will make thee unto these people a fence-breaking wall.
I will make you, yes, unto these people, yes. Yes.
And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, save thee, and deliver thee, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. I am with thee to deliver you and to save you. And because of that, those circumstances cannot defeat you because I am with you. So be rest assured that the presence of God, when the presence of God with you, your victory is certain. You cannot be defeated. That situation will not defeat you. I said that situation will not take you down. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it shall become your stepping stone to higher heights. In Jesus' mighty name. Philippians 2, 8 to 11. Philippians 2, 8 to 11. Wow. I have 5 here and I'm still on 2. Glory be to Jesus. Philippians 2. Eight to 11. I'm reading the NLT translation. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above other names, And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. At whose name? Every knee should bow at that name. The name carries dominion power over all circumstances. He said they will bow. In heaven they will bow. On earth they will bow. Under the earth they will bow. And every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. So the dominion power is three-dimensional. Hallelujah. So that when you are facing spiritual issues, attacks, there is dominion power to overcome it. If you are even facing physical matter, there is dominion power to overcome it. If you are facing something that has been orchestrated from under the earth at covens and in hell, there is dominion power over it. So the victory Jesus won for you and I is three-dimensional. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Amen. So you and I need to walk in this truth. And walk in that authority, knowing fully well that victory has been won for you. So there is nothing really that will come against us that we will not be victorious over. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. Number three, develop a kingdom mindset. Develop a kingdom mindset. Develop a kingdom mindset. Proverbs 23:7 says, that as a man thinketh, so he is. You and I need to carry a kingdom mentality. What does it mean? In Romans 8, 35 to 37, the Bible said, which is our text, it says, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors, meaning we are more than victorious. So what does it mean really to be more than conquerors? How does it express itself? It means that before you are faced with a challenge, you already know that your victory is assured. You already know that you are victorious over that situation, even before it shows up at all. Do you really know, in your heart of hearts, that when something happens, what you can think about is, that's another victory for me? Or do you see it and say to yourself, here we go again, another defeat? That would not be your portion. Amen. Number four, talk it and act it. Talk it and act it. Talk it and act it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. That scripture tells us where our victory really lies. First John, not the book of John, but First John, chapter 5 and verse 4. For every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through what? Through our faith. Every child of God defeats the evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. Praise the Lord. Through our faith. And what is faith? Faith is just a practical demonstration of your confidence in God and in His word. That's what it is. It's your confidence. So you act it and you talk it. That is how you demonstrate your confidence. Praise the Lord. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in that circumstance, let me ask you, where is your faith? Where is your confidence? Because you will talk it and you will act it. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. You must act it. It must show to other people. Hallelujah. Your faith is as strong as the test it survives. A lot of people say, so I'm a man of faith, I'm a woman of faith. Well, anybody can say whatever they like. But I want to see you when your faith gets into a fight. That's when we will know whether you have faith. It is what your faith has survived that will cause men to respect you. Everybody has challenge. Praise the Lord. Everybody has something they are struggling with. Everybody has a need that they want to meet in their lives. Hello? Yours may be different from mine, but we all have it. Today you are saying, praise the Lord, God has done something for me. Tomorrow the devil has already strategized something else. He doesn't give up. But we do not know that you are really a man or a woman of faith until you get your faith into a fight. And then you are the one surviving after. Praise the Lord. That's when we know you have faith. Something must validate your amens and your praise the Lord's. Ah, sister, praise the Lord. Ah, the Lord is good. Something must validate that. If you refuse the test, then you don't have faith. Your action either buttresses your faith or betrays your unbelief. Your action either buttresses your faith or they betray your unbelief. Many people are looking at us and watching how we will behave when life makes its demands on us. They're watching how you are going to behave. Are you going to fall down and begin to cry? Are you going to curse God? Like a brother was saying, he said, the day that I even decided that I was going to, when they say that I should be a Christian, the day I now decided I am going to come to church, that is the day I came, they stole my wallet, police caught me. He said, that church